to be, as I said, in Revelations chapter 8. And we'll look at some other chapters too, and describing about prayer. Would you go with me as we open up in prayer? Our Father and our God, as we come to you this morning, God, I thank you for your presence being here. God, you said where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst. And God, there is no doubt you are visiting with us today. And God, we welcome you here in this church. We welcome you here in this place. We welcome you in our lives, the Lord. And God, we thank you for your presence being here today. And God, I pray that you defeat the devil, bind him up and cast him out of here. God, he is not welcome here, nor is he wanted here, God. And may the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God be so real and so full in this place that the devil can't even step foot on this property because your dwelling is here. And God, I thank you, Lord, for filling this place today. Again, bind Satan up, his demons and workers, and cast them away. And let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God have freedom to move and work in our lives this morning. God, as we open up your word, it is your word. God, your word is precious. God, your word is to be anointed. And God, your word is anointed. And God, we pray for the anointing of the reading of your word today, that your word would go forward, that God, as you said, it's sharper than a two-edged sword, that it cuts, it pierces, God, to the sunder, the Lord, dividing the bone and marrow. And God, I pray that we'd be convicted where we need to be convicted today, that God, we won't be the same as what we walked in here as, that God, we'd be excited, renewed, and on fire, the Lord, when we leave this place, the Lord, that we'll go and tell others about Jesus. God, I thank you for what you're doing. Again, I pray your blessings on the reading of your word. God, your word is precious, and God, you anoint it. God, I pray your anointing on me today. Hide me behind the cross of Calvary. God, fill me with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Give me a freedom and turn me loose, God, and let me preach your word without fear or favor of man. God, let me preach it, the Lord, as you've gave it to me. God, I pray your blessings upon this service, the Lord. God, you know what we have need of. May you visit us today. Change hearts, change souls, change minds, as only you can do. God, we're going to thank you. We're going to praise you for what you're going to accomplish. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. When you look at Revelations chapter 8, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 5, here you see John describing, in the midst of an earth-shattering event, the amazing pause in heaven in verse 1. You'll see as he describes that there's an amazing connection here between the prayers of the saints and the end times. The gathering of the prayers of God's people are portrayed here as the instrument God uses to bring about the world at its appointed consummation. You'll see this in these verses of Scripture with me, if you'll follow with me. Revelations chapter 8. And verses 1 through 5 says this. It says, when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about a space of a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and they were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense that should be offered it with the what? Prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before where? The throne of God. Amen. It said, in the smoke of the incense, which came with the what? Prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings and earthquakes. My friend, I'm here to tell you, if you think prayer is not powerful, you can think again. The prayer is a powerful thing in your life and my life. Prayer is key. Prayer is powerful. You see right here the prayer of the saints of God. My friend, you'll follow with me, is what's going to usher in the end times as we know it. Usher in those times when God's going to unleash his fury, when he's going to open up that seventh seal. And my friend, they're going to become, he's going to take those incense out of the angel's hands, out of the throne of God, and he's going to cast them to the earth. And you're going to see the lightnings and thunders and things begin to happen. My friend, listen to me. Prayer is key. Prayer is powerful, and we need to understand that. Number one, if you're taking notes, my friends, the seventh sealed scroll, verse 1 opens up with a reference to opening the seventh seal of the scroll. When he opened that seventh seal, it said there was a silence in a space of about a half an hour. Look back with me at verse 1. He said, and when he had opened up the seventh seal, there was what? silence in heaven about a space of a half an hour. Oh, to understand what that seventh seal is, we need to go back to the beginning of where it was talking about that in Revelation chapter 5. When you go back there with me in Revelation 5, 1 through 5, it says this. It said, "And I saw in the right hand," he says, "and I saw in the right hand of him that sat upon the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals." Sealed with seven seals. Sealed seven times because of the secrecy of what was in the book. He goes on to say in verse 2, he said, "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open up the book and to loose the seals thereof?'" My friend, I'm telling you, and as you'll see when we read the finish of these verses, my friend, there's only one person that was worthy of opening up the book, and that was the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that gave his life for you and me. He goes on to say, "And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open up the book, neither to look thereon." No person, my friend. He went out trying to find somebody, searching who was worthy for that. Nobody could in heaven or earth. He goes on to say in verses 4 and 5, he said, "And just as John," and John says, "And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open up and read a book, neither to look thereon." He goes on in verse 5, and it says this, "And one of the elders saith unto him, 'Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open up the book and loose the seven seals thereof.'" My friend, listen to me. He came as a lamb led to the slaughter, but when he comes back, he's coming back as the Lion of Judah, my friend, to exhibit his power, his strength that is coming back. And my friend, to help usher that in, he uses the prayers of the saints of God to bring that about. You don't think your prayers are important, my friend. I'm here to tell you, your prayers are powerful. Your prayers are important. Your prayers is what keeps Satan on the run, my friends. Your prayer is powerful this morning. It's powerful. The significance of the contents of the scroll that was opened up said no one in heaven, not even the six-winged cherubims that continually declare God's glory, couldn't open it up. Not even Gabriel, God's special messenger, could open it up. Not even the mighty archangel Michael, which was a heavenly warlord, was strong enough to open it up or qualified enough to open it up. Only the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords could bring this about. Oh, listen to me. We are told in Revelation 4:2. That John had been brought up into heaven in his spirit, my friend, and was promised that he would see what must take place after this, and that is after the church age is over. John was unparalleled opportunity to see how it would all end in the final days of world history. Oh, my friend, listen to me. I don't know about you, but I think we're in the final days of world history. I think we're in the final days, my friend, when Jesus is going to return. Oh, listen to me. The prayers of the saints of God, the prayers of you and me, the prayers of the children of God, getting tired of being trampled on by a government and society that wants to take prayer out of school, the Bible out of school, the Ten Commandments out of the courthouse, and everything that has to do with God. Listen, I'm a little bit sick and tired of it myself. What about you? Oh, my friends, you want to see change, and you want to see change come about. It will come about through the prayer of the children of God. It'll come about through the prayer of you and me. Oh, listen, John had an opportunity to see these things, my friend, in Revelation 5:3, he goes back and says, it says in there, "And no man in heaven or in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open up the book, neither to look thereon." Oh, listen, this search produced no one worthy to open up the scroll. No one worthy. Only the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was worthy to open it up. He says in Revelation 5:4, John goes on to begin, my friend, when this happened, he began to weep. He said, "And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open up and read the book, neither to look thereon." Oh, it burdened John. He began to weep. Oh, and then the elder stood up in verse 5 and come to him and says, "And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not. Weep not, Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open up the book and loose the seven seals thereof. Oh, John was upset, but the elder says, don't cry. There's one that can open it up. There's one that can make this happen. He's the Son of God. He's the Lion of Judah. My friend, listen to me. That's the one that we pray to. That's where the prayers go. My friend, is in Jesus' name. And Jesus, sitting on the right hand of the Father, piles those prayers up on the altar before God. And my friend, they go up as sweet smelling incense before Him. Oh, listen to me. God can do some miraculous things with the prayer. I see as the Lord walks over to the throne to take the scroll out of the Father's hand. The Bible says 24 elders that surrounded the throne, each holding a harp of golden bowls full of incense, were the prayers of the saints. Will you look at those verses with me in Revelations 5, in verse 7 through 10. In Revelations 5 and 7 through 10, he says, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having one of them harps and golden vials full of the odors, which are the what? Prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and thou hast redeemed us to God by the blood of every kindred and every tongue and every people and every nation. He says in verse 10, and thou hast made us unto God's kings and priests, which we shall reign on the earth. Oh, listen to me. Jesus alone has the right to open up the seal of history. Alone he has the right. My friend, he's the one that died on the cross of Calvary for you and me. He's the one that took the beatings for you and me. He's the one that took the whipping of the cat o' nine tails. He's the one that took the nails through his hands and his feet. He's the one that took the crown of thorns upon him. Only Christ. He is the only one worthy. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, is the only one worthy to open up the seals that are in this book. Oh, only the Lord can do that, my friend. The one that was like a lamb led to the slaughter, my friend. But I'm telling you, he's coming back, the Lion of Judah. He's not coming back a lamb. Oh, listen to me, and you need to understand, it has to do with the prayers of the children of God. It has to do with the prayers of the saints of God that will usher this in. Your prayers mean business. Oh, listen, God is willing to give this judgment of history into the hands of the one that came to save us. Oh, Chapter 6 records what happens as Jesus cracks open those seals in Revelation 6, 8. In Revelation 6, 8, he goes on, he says, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat upon it was what? Death. His name that sat upon it was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. My friend, there's coming a day when God's going to have enough. And he's going to turn to Jesus and say, go get your children. Oh, listen to me. It'll come about when the child of God has had enough of this world. And we seek out to God, my friend, and pray to him. As we're going to see in verse in chapter 6 and verse 10, my friend, as the saints cry out, they cry out and say, God, how long is it going to be before you avenge the enemies that come against us? When he cries out, he said, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, doest thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell upon the earth? Oh, my friends, the saints of God mean business of God. When you look and you see, and Jesus taught about the prayers, the disciples asked him about praying. Lord, teach us to pray. And he gave them the model prayer, the importance of prayer of the early church. You see in the book of Acts. And my friend, now we see the importance of prayer and the return of Jesus, the prayer of the saints of God that will usher in the end time as we know it. Oh, listen to me. Not only that, but number two, if you're taking notes, the silence in heaven. The silence in heaven, when you look back, my friend, and you look back, listen to me, when you stand in awe of God, there ain't nothing you can say. When you stand in the presence of God, you and I are going to be awestruck, my friend, before we have the privilege and the power power of God unleashed on us to pray and sing praises to Him. When we stand before Him, my friend, we're not going to be able to say nothing. Oh, because of His holiness, His majesty. You look back through Scripture of time, my friend, when God was beginning to deal with Moses in a burning bush and others, they couldn't even look upon God. But my friend, I can tell you something. When they returned from the presence of God, they were glowing. They were glowing. Oh, listen to me. Because they have been in the presence of Almighty God. And my friend, you and I, as the children of God, it's time we get excited about the Lord. I say it all the time. We can get excited about NASCAR, football, and everything else. Why can't we get excited about Jesus? Oh, listen to me. My friend, we need to be excited about what the Lord has done. Oh, you see in Revelation 8:1, it says, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about a space of a half an hour. The Lamb, Jesus, breaks that last remaining closure to the scroll. When that scroll is open, the wheels of God's judgment would speed up, preparing the way for the second coming of Christ." Oh, listen to me. Look at Revelation 8:5. When after the prayers of the saints in verse 3 and 4, look what verse 5 says. "And the angel of God takes the fire of the altar and throws it to the earth with voices of what?" What happens? "And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar, and he cast it to earth, and there were what? Voices and thunders and lightnings and an earthquake." Listen to me. I think God has sent plenty of them for the last couple of years, my friend, trying to get this United States and America and people across the world to understand. He means business, my friends. Listen to me. God's business is what? Serious business. God's business is serious business, and we need a heed to the scripture and the message this morning. Understanding about our prayers, my friend, and the importance of the prayers in your life and my life. Oh, as soon as Christ opens that seventh seal, the host of heaven stand in what was about a half an hour in silence. Why? Because they seen the sovereign power of God that he was fixing to unleash, my friend. And my friend, they were in awe of looking at that. They understood that this cosmos, this universe, was fixing to convulse in ways that it never has been, my friend. When God unleashes his power, we better be prayed up and studied up and ready for that time, my friends. And my friend, we can usher that time in our lives of prayer. Oh, listen, Jesus deliberately pauses to show John and us gathered the power of prayers have an effect and create and have an effect on the creation and history comes about the power and the presence of prayer, my friend. And all if heaven pauses for a minute for John to get a glimpse of that and to get a glimpse of verse 3 and 4 with the saints and their prayers being gathered at the altar before the throne of God with the angel there and the incense coming up before him as a sweet smelling thing to the Lord. Oh, and then God takes that angel and allows him to take those prayers and that censers of fire and my friend and giving an incense to the prayers of the saints and that golden altar which is before the throne of God. And when he takes those verses of 3 and 4 and my friend you see verse 5 come and it's that power of the Holy Spirit of God that is exhibited before the scroll is opened by God. He wants to make clear to John and to us that the unfolding of the end of the world will happen by the prayers of the saints. Go back with me to verse 3 and 4. He says, "And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with what? The prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne." Aren't you glad that your prayers and my prayers today go before the throne of God. Go before the throne of God. And he said in verse 4, "And the smoke of the incense which came with the what? Prayers of the saints ascended up where? Before God out of the angel's hands." And my friend, and look at what it says in verse 5. When that comes to happen, look about what it says. It says in verse 5, "And the angel took the censers and filled it with what? fire of the altar and cast it in the earth. And there was voices and thunderings and lightnings and earthquakes. Oh, listen, the prayers of the saints, the prayers of you and me are a powerful thing in the tools and arsenal of God. Not only that, but number three, when you look at that, you look at the supplication of the saints. As again we read in Revelations 8, 3 and 4. And you read that again with me. It says, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense that should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. Oh, listen to me. It's the prayers of saints that have been piling up on the altar of God. They go on the altar before his throne, just as the praise team and them sang today, the altar of our praise, the altar of our prayer, going before the throne of God, as they sang earlier today. Those prayers are key. Those prayers are the fragrances that fill the throne room of worship. There will come a day when God will do something with our prayers. There comes a day when God's going to take those prayers that are gathered at his throne, my friend, and he's going to put them to work. When you look at verse 5 with me again, he says, and they took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar, cast it in the earth, and there was voices and thunders and lightnings and earthquakes. Oh, listen, this catastrophic reaction of the thunder and the loud rumblings and the flashing of lightning and the earthquake simply represent the action of God upon this world as the scroll of the end of age and that seventh seal is opened, my friend. And the fury of God is unleashed and is poured out before us. Our prayers bring this about. Don't miss that. Look at Revelation 6:10 with me. In Revelation 6:10, the saints of God are crying out. They're pouring their heart out to him. And they're saying, God, as we said earlier, how long will it be? When you look at Revelation 6:10, it says, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? Holy and true, doest thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? How long? How long is God going to sit back and watch millions and millions of innocent blood shed from abortion in America and across this world? How long is God going to sit back and watch a government that's running a government without God being in the center of it? How long is he going to sit back and watch a judicial system take out the Ten Commandments out there and judge a nation? How long is God going to sit back knowing that the prayers of God and anything we talk about as a child of God, as a Christian, that proclaiming the Christian Judea ethical values of this world, and friend, we're claiming that as Christians, but yet the world and the government and all them back off and don't want nothing to do with it. Oh, listen to me. Everybody else has more rights than the child of God ever thought about having. Has more rights. How long? How long is God going to allow that to take place? How long, my friend, is it going to be for you and me as a child of God before we say we've had enough? Enough is enough. And we start getting serious about prayer and sending them up to the Lord and, my friend, to get him to do some things. Oh, listen, Revelations 8 shows us that the prayers of the saints are the instruments God uses to usher in the end of the world. Our prayer changes history in more ways, perhaps, than you and I have ever thought about. Prayer changes things. My friend, God is serious about prayer. And I can tell you something, when the church, when the body of believers, when we as individuals, body of Christ, my friend, understand the importance and the power of prayer, God will begin to change the church. God will begin to change you. God will change me. God will change this community. He'll change this county. He'll change this state. He'll change this country, this world, this nation. When people get busy about God. What did he tell us in 2 Chronicles 7:14? What did he say there? If what? If my people, what? Call upon my name. Humble themselves. And what? Before him. And what? Confess our sins to him. Then will he be faithful. Faithful and just. To forgive our sins and heal our land. My friends, who are his people? The children of God. We are. When we're going to get serious about prayer? When we're going to get serious about prayer and praying and understanding, my friend, God is serious about the prayers and understanding. As I said, look back with me at verses 3 and 4 in Revelation chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. Look with me one more time. It said, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that should offer it up with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hands. Oh, listen to me. God is serious about prayer. And I want you to understand something. As a child of God, I want you to understand when you mean business with God and you go to God in prayer and you ask God in your life to lead you, to guide you, to direct you, when you claim, as I say all the time, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding in all thy ways. Acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Oh, my friend, when you're seeking God for direction, and you mean business in prayer with the Lord, understand something. God means business enough to hear. Amen. God means business enough to hear, my friend, and answer prayers. When we're serious about that, I want you to understand, as a saint of God, you might have never thought about this before, but in that chapter 8, verse 3 and 4, I want you to picture with me. I want you to picture the throne of God right here. The throne of God here. I want you to picture Jesus on the right hand. The angel gathered around. And my friend, over the past 2,000 years since Jesus has been gone, prayers of the saints are piled on that altar. And my friend, the angel takes them in his hands, releases them up before the nostrils of God, that those prayers become a sweet incense of Him. And my friends, those prayers are gathered up around the throne of God. Not a one prayer you've ever made that you haven't asked amiss to consume it upon your own lust has ever been prayed in vain. They're gathered around the throne of God. And my friend, I'm going to tell you something. As Revelation 6:10 says, when them saints are cried out, how long, God? Holy and true God, how long are you all going to avenge the blood of those that are on the earth? Oh, there's coming a day when God's going to unleash the prayers of the saints. And my friend, when that happens, as I said in Revelation 8:5, He's going to take them and cast them to the earth. And there's going to be thunders. There's going to be lightnings. There's going to be earthquakes. And my friend, the end is just going to be beginning. Oh, listen to me. Your prayers mean something. When I said we're going to do a series in prayer starting off 2014, my friend, I want you to understand the importance of prayer as an individual, as a family, and as a body of Christ. Our prayers mean something, and they got power. Oh, you might be here today and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. My friend, there's only one way to get into heaven, and that's through prayer of confession. That's through prayer. The most important prayer you can do is to confess your sins to Him. He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Will you pray to Him today? Maybe it's been a while. Maybe it's been a while before you prayed or been in church or whatever. 1 John 1:9 works for you. God, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Restore unto me the importance of reading God's word, the importance of prayer. Oh, listen, if there's ever been a day that we need to focus on prayer and reading God's word, it's the now. We don't have tomorrow. We don't have the next day. It's now that it starts, and watch what the Lord can do.